This morning, I'd like to begin a new series that I've called Groaning in Prayer. We've reached something of a halfway point in Matthew's Gospel, and the Lord willing, we'll return there. But I'd like to preach for a short while. I hope to challenge all of us, to encourage all of us, that together as a church, we will devote ourselves to praying together, to calling on God, to seeking God in prayer together. I hope that over the next few weeks you will be helped, that we will be moved to give ourselves as a church to praying together more than ever before. I've called this series Groaning in Prayer because you will find in many places in the scriptures, believers are said to groan in prayer to God, to cry out to God from the depths of their hearts, to pour out their griefs, to seek refuge in God, calling on God, wrestling with God. And the word that the scriptures frequently use for prayer like this is, believers are said to groan in prayer. In the sixth psalm, Psalm 6, the psalmist in deep distress, he cries to God, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim, I drench my couch with my tears." In Psalm 38, the psalmist prays, "Lord, all my desire is before you. My groaning is not hid from you." In fact, in too many psalms to mention, when the believer is in distress, is in need, you find that they are groaning out to God in prayer. Think of the example we have in Hannah, praying for a child. And she's in bitterness of soul. Doesn't mean she's bitter. It means she's in deep pain. And she weeps in anguish. And she prays to the Lord. We find similar references in the New Testament, even in the life of the Lord himself. When he approached the tomb of dead Lazarus, John chapter 12, he's so moved, he's feeling such compassion for the grieving family. Do you know what John records? It says, the Lord was groaning in himself. And then he prays. He prays to his Father, groaning in himself. Or you could think of how in the letter to the Hebrews, it says about his prayers in Gethsemane, under the shadow of the cross, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. So the Lord himself not only knows what it is to pray like this, he's our example of crying out, of agonizing in prayer when there's great need. So this is what I mean by groaning in prayer. That you are pouring out your heart to God in need. You're casting heavy burdens on him, grief onto him. And you're calling on God to act. And the Bible is teaching us that we should be praying like this. We should pray like this as God's children. We should be praying like this about our sins. We should be groaning for revival in the church. We ought to be feeling this when we're crying out for others to be saved. We should cry like this when we're longing for heaven. Longing to be delivered of the miseries of this world. When our families are broken, when we see evil men prospering, this is how we ought to be calling on God. And then the good news is that God hears such prayers and he saves. You remember those words of the Exodus? When the Lord sends Moses, he says, "I have heard the groaning of my children." Our scripture in Romans chapter 8 has a lot to say about groaning. If you look with me at verse 22, It says the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs. Then in verse 23, it says that we as believers who have the Spirit groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now the context in Romans 8 is the Apostle Paul is addressing suffering in the Christian life. As believers, we're going to face many trials in this world. If you look ahead to verse 35, he lists some of the hardships that you should expect as a Christian. Tribulation. So that's trouble. Stress of any kind. Peril. That's violence, danger, car accident or attacks of evil men. Distress. So that's emotional anxiety, worries and fears. Famine. So that's poverty, hunger. Nakedness. Well, that's shame or even sexual assault or difficult medical treatments. And the sword, persecution. But his great point is that even if the believer goes through all of these things, we can be assured nothing, not one of them, can separate us from the love of God. He means God is going to save his people. His love is so true, so sure. You will not be lost, saint, but he will bring you through and he will bring you to glory. His love guarantees it. God will save his people. And in that we can trust. And so that's the context in which Paul speaks about creation. So that's the world, the animals, the plants, the angels, all around us. And we ourselves, and we're groaning and we're longing under these burdens for the kingdom of God to come. For the resurrection of our bodies. For the healing of all things. And we're longing and groaning at times under these pains for eternal life and the kingdom of God. We're waiting eagerly for them. But then he comes specifically to speak about praying when you're laboring and suffering. This is verses 26 to 27. And he says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings that are wordless, soundless, unspoken. He says, in some sense, the Holy Spirit is involved in this groaning too. And specifically when it comes to prayer. Now what I hope to show you, what he's really telling us here is he's encouraging us. He's telling us the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. The Holy Spirit will move us. He will strengthen us. He will guide us to pray. And he'll give us that help, especially when we're suffering. He'll give us the help we need to groan to God in prayer when we're going through these troubles. And we can be encouraged. Such prayers will be heard. Look with me at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, one of the most distressing things a Christian can go through is during a time of suffering, they're surprised to find it is hard to pray. In easier, happier times, we imagine that when the troubles come, oh, that's going to drive us to prayer, and we're going to faithfully pray through it the way that we should. But then the reality, as many Christians find, when that storm hits, it is not at all easy to pray. Or it's not at all easy to know what to pray. We find that we're weak. Our minds are distracted. You can be too upset to pray, to find the words. Sometimes you just don't have the strength. You know, weakness, sickness, grief, they just drain your energy. And prayer suddenly seems this impossible hill to climb. The words aren't there. And I wonder if anyone here, if you face something like that, and trouble so great, you just felt overwhelmed. It was hard to pray. Think again of Hannah. And God seemed far away. Your spirit's dried up. Your tongue in your mouth feels like lead. And more specifically, as the verse says, you very practically don't know what to pray for. Have you found that, brothers and sisters? What am I meant to ask God for in the midst of this? I don't know where to begin to turn this situation around. The darkness is so great, I don't know up from down. What am I supposed to say? What is God's will in this situation? We don't know what to pray. Well, I think it's very comforting that Paul says we here. We do not know. Even the great apostle admits that there were times when he just didn't know. Prayer was hard. You might think, for example, of how in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says he was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh. Now, no one really knows for sure what he means by that. I think it was an ongoing physical affliction. I think something with his eyes that greatly hindered him. No one knows for sure. But he has this ongoing difficulty, ongoing pain. And he's praying to God that this would be taken from him. Lord, I can serve you so much better without this difficulty. Can't I be healed? He'd healed others. But you know, the Lord answers him in a very surprising way. He says, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying, no, Paul, actually this trial is going to be good for you. You're going to learn to depend on me, to grow in faith, and my glory will be seen through your weakness. But do you see how Paul didn't even sometimes know the right thing to pray for? Didn't know what was God's plan, what was best? It should be a comfort. He says, we here. But then there's the great comforting reassurance. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. We are not alone. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Now, the word helps in our English Bibles really doesn't do justice to the word that's there in the original Greek. The original word is a very long one, and it means something like, he comes alongside to help lift the heavy burden. That's what it says. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit comes alongside you, Christian, to help lift the heavy burden. I don't know why, but when I read that word, it makes me think of somebody rather comically trying to move a piano by themselves. Have you ever tried that? You know how impossible it is? But then a friend, a very strong man, comes along and helps. That's the kind of imagery of what's going on here. That he is our friend, comes along and he's picking up the heavy load that you're under. And he adds his strength to your weakness. So how does the Holy Spirit help us to pray? It says, he makes intercession for us with or through groanings that cannot be uttered. So again, that word intercession, it's referring specifically to helping us pray. When we cannot pray, we don't know how to pray, can't find the words, He intervenes to help us, and in a sense, he will speak for us when we cannot speak. But then comes the thing that's difficult to understand. It says groaning that cannot be uttered, groaning that is silent, groanings that are wordless. Well, what does that mean? How do we understand that? Well, there have been three different approaches to those words that Christians have taken. Now, the first is, some charismatic Christians says that this is speaking about the gift of tongues. So that when you don't know how to pray, you're struggling, the Holy Spirit will give you some kind of unknown language that you'll groan out. Well, I don't support that interpretation. I think it goes against what the Bible says the gift of tongues was. The tongues was a miracle to mark the beginning of the gospel age when Christians were given a gift of speaking in known languages. A sign that the gospel was going out to the world. None of the other scriptures about tongues say it's some unknown groaning, it's not right. That's not what it is. Well, secondly, some Christians think that this means the Holy Spirit himself literally prays for us when we are in distress. When you cannot pray, it's like he prays. Similar, I suppose, to how the Lord Jesus intercedes and prays for us in heaven. And so the Spirit knows what to pray for, and he speaks to the Father on our behalf. Now, you'll find that most modern commentators take it that way. But actually, I think there's a theological problem with that. It's difficult to understand how God can pray to God. When the Lord Jesus prays and intercedes for us, it's as our mediator. It's in his human nature, as our high priest, incarnate, as one of us. And it seems very strange that I don't really see anywhere else in the Bible where you could talk about the Spirit praying, God praying. It doesn't make sense, but I suppose you could understand if, with flexibility of language, it could mean that. But the third view, and what I come to believe, and actually it's what the Puritans, the majority of the Reformers, Calvin, Spurgeon, Lloyd-Jones, all understood this to mean, is it saying that the Spirit works deep within our hearts, moving us, strengthening us, guiding us to pray. And it's not like something that you hear a voice. It's not like there's clear words. But deep down, he will be empowering, mysteriously lifting up the believer so the believer can groan out in prayer and can cry to God. That he will guide the believer to pray according to God's will, even if we don't consciously detect that help. The Paul is describing the Spirit prompting us and strengthening us so that we are groaning out in prayer and able to bring these things to God through his strength. From the heart, even without words. And one of the key reasons to understand these words this way is earlier in verse 15 and in a similar passage in Galatians 4, the scripture says that the Spirit cries out, Abba Father, in our hearts. The Spirit cries out, Abba Father, in our hearts. Now, we know what that means. That clearly means we call God our Abba Father, because the Spirit assures in our hearts that it is so. No one takes those verses to mean the Spirit himself says, Abba Father. Everyone agrees it means he's moving us. He's helping us so that we pray to God as Father through a gift of assurance. And so it's perfectly consistent to see Paul's describing a similar thing here. It's working the same way. And the great comfort, Christian, is that when you are weak, when you're so overwhelmed you cannot pray, you don't know what to pray, deep within, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. He will give you help. He will give you guidance to help you cry out to God. One preacher that I came across, he described it a bit like this. You know when someone's performing on a stage in a play or giving a speech? Well, just in case if they forget their lines, there'll be a prompter off in the wings, hidden and out of sight, and they've got the script. And when the person up there is stumbling, goes silent, they can prompt them with the right word or the right sentence to get them going again. And in a similar way, the Spirit is like that. When the Christian's trying to pray, and he'll be there silently, hidden off to the side, but he'll prompt us. He'll lead us. He'll supply us with the words. Or another picture I was thinking of is this summer in Wales, our children got to try out proper archery at a castle that we visited. But when some of them tried to pull back the bow, they weren't strong enough to do it themselves. You know, with a real bow, it takes a lot of strength, doesn't it, to pull it back. And so the teacher came and stood by their side, and their hands were on the bow, but then the teacher's hands on top of them. The children's hands, the teacher's strength, helping them aim, helping them pull it back. And so in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness in prayer, his strength, his aim, helping us to fire those petitions off into heaven. The gracious Holy Spirit will give us strength. Now I imagine every Christian here has experienced something like this. You're struggling to pray. You're going through difficulty and you're overwhelmed. You're exhausted. You're about ready to give up. But then all of a sudden, it's like you're swept up. You're lifted up. The words start to come. There's a fresh sense of purpose. You get a hunger for God. You get a desire for prayer. You get a sense of like steel in your soul. I am going to pray for this until God hears. And somehow, when you've got no strength, suddenly you have strength to keep on praying. And there's a new clarity about what to pray for. Even perhaps a gift of assurance that you were heard. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Christian. This is the kind of gracious work of the Spirit. And then the further comfort that we're given is this same Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows what we should pray. He knows what we need to pray. And he will guide us to pray according to God's will. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now again, what's Paul really saying there? He's saying God our Father who hears our prayers and God the Spirit who prompts our prayers are perfectly in harmony. They're of one mind, one will. The persons of the Godhead are one in this, in purpose and wisdom. They are as one in helping us pray. The Holy Spirit who's at work within you, guiding you to pray, well, he's one and will guide you to the will of God, how you ought to pray. God is both guiding your prayers and hearing your prayers. See what Paul's really getting at? Although it's written so beautifully and poetically, he's reassuring us. Our prayers will be heard. If you have God helping us to pray and God hearing our prayers, we can be confident these cries and groans will be heard. With the Spirit's help, our prayers are pleasing to God. And he knows exactly how to help guide our prayers to God's will. It's a very comforting promise. And only God knows, perhaps even this past week, some of us here have been alone, groaning, crying out in prayer, with deep burdens, with broken hearts. And perhaps you might have got to this point of saying, I don't know that I can carry on. Well, hear this wonderful promise of God. The Holy Spirit will help you. You are not alone. There's just a few simple things, practical things, I wanted to say to help you groan in prayer. And the first thing is to know that if you're groaning in prayer, it's a very comforting sign you really are God's child. Your crying out in prayer, in distress, is because the Holy Spirit is working in you. It's a sign of life. You know, like when a baby's born, what is it that do you want to hear? The nurses, they want to check and they'll tap on, they want to hear crying. And the sign that there is truly new life, that you're born again as a child of God, is you will cry to God. It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. And don't look there now, but that's the context again of Romans 8. Paul is saying, this is what a true Christian is. They have the Spirit. And so they will cry like this. The children of God alone have the Spirit of God. You drop a stone in the water, it sinks. You drop a piece of wood, it'll float. You drop the non-Christian in the waters of affliction, they sink down. They get angry or they despair. But the Christian is lifted up to pray. And so take heart if you've been crying out. Recognize this is the gracious work of God in your life. If you're crying out, it's because God is with you, helping you You are his. The question then has to be, have you ever prayed like this? Do you know what it is to cry out to God from the heart? Have you ever been so overwhelmed? You came to the end of yourself and you had to pour out the depths of your soul to God. It's not a sign God is absent. It is God who is drawing you to pray in such a way. The person who should be worried is someone who's never prayed like this. It would be a sign you do not have the Spirit of God. But take it as a comfort, brothers and sisters. Those prayers show you are his child. Second, practically, if it is the Spirit who helps us to pray, then we should study the Scriptures to learn how to pray. The Bible is the Spirit's handiwork. And in it, he gives us marvelous helps to pray. If we want to know God's will, we want to know what to pray for, well, we must search and study his word. The same Spirit who will help move you to pray is the same Spirit who's given us every word of the Bible. And there's something very helpful here. When you can't find the words to pray, if you feel spiritually moribund, take up one of the prayers in Scripture. Take up one of the promises. Take up one of the Psalms. And then with all the energy that you can, pray it to God. You know, like the old-fashioned water pumps that you don't really see them anymore, I suppose, but it used to be that there'd always be a cup of water by them because you always had to pour water down first before you could get the pump going and it could draw up fresh. You always had to make sure you leave a cup of water behind as well. You still see them sometimes if you're hiking in the Lake District and so on. Now, if I could put it that way, if sometimes you come to that pump of prayer and it's dry, you need that cup of water to pour in. You need the prayers of Scripture. And if you start there, look for the Spirit's help for that water then begin to flow. So very practically, if it's a struggle, come to the Scriptures. Third, always listen to his prompts to pray. This might be a little bit subjective, but it's actually a piece of advice that I came across years ago in a sermon from Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it's made a tremendous difference in my own life. Whenever you feel a prompt in your heart to pray, whenever that thought's in the mind, I should pray, or you feel drawn to pray, burdened to pray, compelled to pray, immediately, as soon as is possible, pray. Don't delay. Don't say, I'll pray about it later. Because you'll file it away in your mind and you almost certainly won't. Rather, there and then, as soon as it's practically possible, even if only briefly, in your heart, answer that prompt to pray. Now, not that we should neglect the duty of praying. God looks for us to be faithful. We should pray constantly, even when it is hard, even when there's no prompt. But when such an impulse comes, it probably is the Holy Spirit at work calling us to prayer. And there may be specific seasons when there's a specific thing he'll burden you with, perhaps even for years, to pray for. He'll call you to pray. But answer that. Answer that. Don't dismiss it. Again, I trust every Christian knows the kind of thing I'm talking about. Don't put it aside, but pray. And then fourth, finally, when these verses speak about God's will and prayer, I think they are meant to remind us of those important words the Lord prayed when he was groaning to God. Words that we will need the Spirit's help to pray. Words that are possibly the most important thing to pray of all. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Even when we might not know what to pray specifically, this is the best, the safest refuge. This is what we can pray. This is the sure ground where you can stand before God. You know how our Lord is, he's praying in the garden before the cross, and he knows it's God's will to submit to that suffering. But just as there may be trials and suffering that God has ordained for each of us, for our eternal good, but it will be the hardest thing in the world to pray, Lord, I submit and I trust you. I trust that you've got good in this for me, but I yield to it. I submit to it. I put my faith in you. Not my will, but yours be done. It's in those difficult moments of testing we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help to pray like that. So what a wonderful, gracious God we serve, who not only invites us to pray, but helps us to pray. And even in our deepest suffering, when we cannot pray, will meet with us and help us grow into him. I pray you will be encouraged, beloved children of God. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, thank you for your Spirit. We worship him that he is God, one with Father and Son forever. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of his indwelling, that he has come to live in us as your children. He's the one who's come to help us carry our burdens and to give us the strength to follow Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this particular gracious work, that when we are struggling to pray, when we are burdened with suffering, that he is there, that he will help us from the heart to cry to you. Lord, we pray for anyone here this morning who might be struggling in prayer. Oh Lord, help them and lift them up today. Please reassure them of your love, of how near you are. And together, Lord, as a church, we pray, Lord, that you would move us to pray. You'd help us to carry one another's burdens, to cry out for each other's needs. And we pray, Lord, that you would work within us, that we would be more devoted to this wonderful privilege. We thank you that you are a loving Father, that we can bring everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen.